FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's April Fool's Day 2019. Hey, did you hear that one? The economy is firing on all cylinders. It's doing great, better than ever before. Oh, wait. They were saying that before April Fool's Day, but the march to socialism continues. AOC is on her uninformed, ignorant, ill-advised mission to make socialism great once again. But you can't make something great that was never great in the first place, that has been the ultimate wealth destroyer and civilization destroyer throughout history. Hey, well, as always, you got a view on this, you want to get involved, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So someone we haven't had on in a while, Dr. William H. Northwell. Dr. Northwell, you're political expert, conservative analyst, and author of Return to Capitalism. Welcome back to the show. And so what about the emerging socialist left? The people who think they know how to fix whatever else society, just take everything over and let the government run it. Is that a prescription for prosperity?
Absolutely not. I've written a book on capitalism, thinking, you know, maybe it could change a few minds. This socialistic idea sweeping the country, and so many of the Democrats are aligned with it. It's very dangerous. It's a very wasteful, inefficient way to run a country, with government planning what used to be planned by each individual for the individuals to vote for socialistic politicians that are going to do all, you know, why worry about how I'm going to get my health care? Let's let government take care of it. Well, it's a very wasteful thing that ends up with a lot of debt, and debt eventually destroys the country. And nobody seems to be worried about this. So that's why I want to speak forcefully on the subject. Socialism just leads to no good ends. I mean, you can look at Venezuela, but, you know, think back on Germany in the 30s being the most socialistic country on the face of the earth and what that led to. Socialism always leads to tyranny and then downfall of governments. And so why, when we have a system that's been working wonderfully in the United States, lifting prosperity for everybody, why do we want to destroy this system through debt and inefficiency? And so right now, the one party is advocating Medicare for all. They're not even talking about expanding on Obamacare, which has been a disaster. But, you know, they start with Medicare and Medicaid, and before, over the years, you think, well, this is sort of normal, and maybe it would solve the increasing cost to health care by having more government. Well, more government just raises prices because a central planning committee, which is what socialism is all about, they are going to make economic decisions, a one-size-fits-all plan that that's going to take care of 300 million Americans. Come on now. Each individual in the past had to make these decisions on their own, what they needed and within limits of what they could afford. Now, affordability, to heck with it. Let's just let government take care of it. But this is just going to lead to disaster where nobody's going to be happy. So that's how I start off with that, Gary.
Yeah, so socialism's been tried a lot of times. It's never worked, right? There's never been a recorded incidence throughout history where socialism actually left people better off than you were before, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that Venezuela thing is such a bizarre story because, and I believe it was around 1950, they were the fourth wealthiest country on the face of the earth. That's behind the United States, I think, is one of the Scandinavian countries, Norway, I believe, and I think New Zealand were the first three, and then Venezuela. They have the world's largest oil deposits. And to think that today that country is in turmoil with people starving, not having food, not having water, potable water. And to think this couldn't happen here, of course it will happen here if we turn so many of our economic functions over to government with the idea government's going to take care of us. You know, only individuals can take care of themselves. Government can't take care of us. It just won't work.
Yeah, very, very true. So, but how do you defeat these bad ideas, which are obviously bad ideas? How do you finally put socialism to rest, put it in its richly deserved deathbed?
Yeah, well, that's the big question for today. And I mean, not that I can answer it or you can answer it, but ideas have to be fought with opposing ideas. It needs debate. And there's very little popularity and very small numbers of people that are speaking up against this socialistic thing. It's being embraced by more and more of the Democratic contenders for president. And of course, people running for Congress and the House of Representatives, they sort of follow the lead of the contenders for presidency. This has to be counterbalanced by opposing viewpoints with good ideas and ideas that make sense. The political debate has to be carried out. But I think our national news media has sort of failed to represent a balanced approach, giving views of both sides. It seems like the national news media and where people get their information now more and more off the internet are only getting one side views of economic future under socialism or capitalism. So I don't know. It's a little discouraging, but people have to continue speaking out, such as yourself and others like you. And I don't know how else to combat this. What do you think, Kerry?
Yeah, well, I'd love to think that rationality and information is going to save the day and it's really going to happen. But I've seen too much in the past couple of decades to think that. I think it's a war, and it's a war of ideas, of which socialism has no new ideas, and it's got to be defeated and defeated once and for all. But when half the Republican Party are just socialists, Democrats, rhinos, whatever you want to call them, I think it's very difficult to get that through. There's really nobody who is who's really fighting for Western civilization here. Nobody's fighting for it.
Yeah, I have to give the president high marks. Just about a week ago, he gets out of this. Well, the Mueller report is finalized and sort of takes a burden off the president, and he decides to pivot, if you will, take up a new issue. And he comes back and says, hey, let's make the Republican Party the party of health care. And then some of the leaders in the Republican side in the Senate said, oh, we don't want to bother going back. That's sort of a settled issue. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a biggie. Healthcare is, you know, maybe 20% of the economy right now. It's a huge amount of resources, money, people involved. It's just a huge, huge thing. And the idea that, let's say, the 180 million Americans that receive their health care through the private insurance industry, which they paid for, are going to all of a sudden give this up and let the government just take over. And maybe they'll supply what these people need. Maybe they won't. But I don't think these people, 180 million that have their insurance from private on the private side, are going to give it up very easily.
Right.
So it's it's a big deal.
Yes, it certainly is. And, you know, like I say, I think we've been losing this war because it hasn't really been perceived as a war, and nobody has really gone after it and said, you know, this is a war for Western civilization, and we need to fight it as such. And that's what I find disturbing, because, look, there's a lot of inequities, a lot of bad things in capitalism. It's not a pretty thing, but it's like Winston Churchill said, Dr. democracy is the worst system in the world, except for all the others. And you know what? The same thing applies to capitalism. It's the worst economic system in the world, except for all the others. And we know this. And what we have in the U.S. is some kind of hybrid between socialism and capitalism. It's a transitioning system, I guess. And we need to do something about it, because otherwise there's not going to be a system that can be saved.
Yeah, if I have a minute left, just briefly, there's a lot of confusion over what capitalism is. People think, well, that was Henry Ford, or today it's Bill Gates. Capitalism is anybody, a shop owner, a doctor, a lawyer, anybody who creates a little business and earns some money from it, and then takes his money and reinvests it in his business and makes more money. But I think what's confusing is, let's say out of 100 workers, maybe, or 100 people, there's one or two business owners, and all the rest are workers that work for such small or medium large businesses. The workers benefit also because they have more jobs available to them in a capitalistic system, so there's more choice to move around to jobs they like best, and to compete, find more money, a higher salary. So capitalism isn't for greedy rich people stealing from the masses. Capitalism benefits everybody, and government-run things, outside of which you just have to have a civil society. Everything else is just up for waste and corruption and graft and inefficiency and just running up debt. So,
yeah, I know that. I know that, and you know that. But AOC doesn't know it, and half the millennials, more than half, don't know it. So it's not just enough to say that. You have to do something else, right?
Well, a 29-year-old is just getting started, you know, and I have to say she's attractive to look at and sort of fun to watch on television, and she's got quite a following, but she's got a lot to learn. Did they say she was an economics major?
Yeah, hard to believe. Hard to believe. Yeah, I can't either. You know, I really can't believe it either, but that's the case. Well, anyway, so your book, where do we find it, Dr. Northam?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. Go to either William Northwall and under books, and it'll come up, or Return to Capitalism, the title. Put that into Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it'll come up. It's about $20. And I'm on the second edition. I'm now planning for a third edition to sort of...
Great.
Clean up a few things, modernize it a little.
All right, excellent. And
go to my website, www.williamnorthwall.com, and it'll tell you about my book and some ideas.
Okay, excellent, Dr. Northwell. Appreciate you coming on. Hey, questions, comments for myself or the good doctor, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Doctor, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.